Yeah, good. Well, great. Yeah, you gotta fucking shake things up. You gotta crack a few omelets to make an egg or whatever.
Yeah, 100% that. And doesn't help the hurt that like one of my friends gave me a dark romance book, which I've been listening to a lot. Yeah, and it's really it's in line with like the stuff that I would normally read in fan fiction too. So
Okay.
it's been really fun. I've been enjoying it.
What's it called?
It's called Butcher and Blackbird or Blackbird and Butcher. I can't remember the order. Butcher and Blackbird.
I almost feel like I've heard of that.
If you're on like Book Talk at all, like TikTok for the book peoples, it's one of the ones that's getting talked about a lot right now, and a lot of people are promoting it. It came out last year. I think for the voice, the audiobook at least, I think was last year or something. I don't know. It's dark. There's murder. There's romancy stuff. Like it's what you expect it to be. It's not shying away from it. You know what I mean? But it is glossing over. Based on the list of content and trigger warnings, it's glossing over stuff more than I was expecting it to, based on just how it read that it was going to talk about stuff. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm not upset with that. Like, some of it was stuff that I really wasn't, super jazzed to be reading, quote unquote, reading. But like, I'm not upset that I'm not running into it. But like, it is still one of those like, I'm wondering now how many of these super dark, awful, hard to read, impossible to get through books there are that are just this kind of stuff where it's like, no, it's got 800 things that it's warning you about, but like, it's literally just, a gloss over like parent death thing is one of the ones they worried about this. They were worrying about with this book. And it's like, the parent death was her mentioning in passing, I think it was, that she doesn't have her parents around anymore or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, or like, he mentioned it in passing. Like, I think one of them mentioned in passing that their parent died in childbirth, I think. Or something, or when they were a kid, or something like that. And I'm like, that's your content warning for that. Like, I'm sure there are people that's going to be a lot for, but that's a
But it
very
wasn't,
soft warning.
there was no actual graphic discussion, or it didn't really get into the
Yeah.
circumstances of the effect. Okay, that sounds odd that you would. So it has a lot of content warnings, but the content is very mild. That's basically.
That's how I'm reading it as. Now, granted, I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to be frank. I am also the person that like was really into true crime and has seen and watched and read a lot of stuff around that is a lot more gruesome than this is getting into.
Very
So
intentionally upsetting things.
some of it, yeah. So like there is that calibration that has to be done where it's like I recognize that I do a lot of this sort of stuff in general, so maybe I'm miscalibrated, but I'm
Oh,
finding
well,
it to be
okay.
pretty minor. And I mean, the story's good. The voice actors are solid. Apparently, the one guy is one of the most prolific voice actors in the romance genre with over 700 audiobooks that he's done. And the girl, I've never heard of her before, but she seems to be like on Audible. She's got like 70 or 80 books at least that she's done too. So, yeah. No complaints. It's been solid. It's definitely a book that's gotten a lot of really positive praise, both for the voice acting and for the actual story itself. So, yeah.
Is there something called a Court of Thorns and Roses?
Yep, that's one of the
That's
bigger.
the thing, that's the big one.
That's a big one right now.
That's
Yeah,
and
that one.
that's Book Talk. Book Talk is what I'm asking
Yeah,
about. This
Book
is
Talk is a
a Book
Book
Talk
Talk talks
book.
about that a lot. It's actually a series. The other one that I hear a lot about on Book Talk is The Fourth Wing.
Oh, I feel like I've heard of that. I think I went to no, I know that I went to a Barnes and Noble, but I'm pretty sure there was a whole like table covered with a court, because the series of A Court of Thorns and Roses. What are some of the other ones called?
No, I've never read any of them.
Oh,
I just know
okay.
I keep running into the there's one that's pink with a bunch of fancy writing on it, and it's like filigrees almost on the cover.
I
And that one's
think
the one I can remember the visually. There's like four or five books in the series, and I've never touched any of them.
I feel like they all had very fancy filigreed text and were all something that was like, five words of a thing of a thing and a thing, that
Yep.
kind of
Yeah. No, they're very much in the fantasy genre. I think it's
that
like Game of
series,
Thrones, if you want like
the thing of
less.
things and things.
Yeah, I think it's like Game of Thrones styled as well, but like less like murdery,
Dense.
less. Yeah, like Game of Thrones is also very misogynistic, and I think it's got less of that going on too.
Okay.
Again, I've not read it. I know people who have, and I feel like, and I can't remember if this is that book for sure, so take this one with a grain of salt, but I feel like I heard this one's like got like the fantasy monster fucking type vibe to it.
Wait, ACOTAR or the one that you are?
The one that you mentioned, the Court of whatever.
Yeah, that's what it's called, ACOTAR. A court of, that's how I wasn't sure what the words were, but I knew what letter they began with.
Fair enough. Yeah, I feel like I'd heard somewhere that specifically, like that series is a monster fucky thing.
Okay, cool. I should probably write some monster fucking young adult novels.
Not younger adult. Tone down the fucking part of the monster fucking.
That's not what we're talking about. These are not.
These are, I Hunger am reading Games grown up type books.
These are grown up. Is A Court of Thorns and Rice a grown up book?
I don't know. Spicy. I believe it is a very spicy book. I believe it's classified for 18 plus.
I don't mean to denigrate anybody in what I'm saying, but I sort of imagine that these books are written at kind of the level of young adult books, but are pornography. That might be what my brain was trying to say, but are for adults.
The way I talked about it, the specific one that I'm reading right now, the way I was talking about it with a friend of mine is like, it's in the upper tier of what I'd expect out of fan fiction. Like, it's in the good to great fan fiction level of writing.
That may be almost exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, and that's where I put this one. I again, don't know about all of them, but this specific book that I'm currently in the middle of, it feels like it's in that level of writing. And, I mean, that's fine. I'm not looking for anything that's going to be fucking Shakespeare here. I'm reading a bubblegum book, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you.
So, but yeah, no, I haven't, like I said, I haven't done the Court of Thorns and Roses yet. I haven't tried that. It's something I'm vaguely curious about, but I'm really not into monster fucking. And because I've heard that, I'm really turned off by the idea of reading it.
I'm not, Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably not averse to monster fucking. I can't think of any media I consume that involves that. But I don't feel like...
I'm sorry, we have the weirdest conversations.
Do you expect that this movie is... Is this a Discovery movie? Is this the Discovery movie? Is that... Or... Did this lady... Actually, yeah.
Okay.
And here's a question that you might not know the answer to. Did this lady go with them to the future when they all went to the... Is she in the final three seasons?
Oh, yeah. Discovery goes to the future, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Seasons 3, 4, and 5 are in the far future after absolutely everything in the timeline.
Yeah, it's like 3,000 or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm surprised that I don't know the answer to this. So because I was thinking, is this like basically, are they doing the Discovery follow-up, like 5 seasons in a movie? But then I was like, I don't know if this lady was even important to the final 3 seasons. I don't think so. She might be around.
It's 6 seasons in a movie usually, isn't it?
Sorry?
Isn't it usually 6 seasons in a movie?
I think that's the phrase that I believe was popularized by the TV show Community.
Yeah, because it's accurate.
They didn't make a movie. Wait, what's it accurate to?
A lot of stuff does like 6 seasons and then they cancel and they have to do a wrap up movie.
Oh, okay.
That's why the joke is there, because it comes up frequently.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, I saw a couple of people saying that this movie is bad.
Yeah, I've been actively avoiding anything about it because I wanted to go into it kind of surprised and like not spoiled, but I'm not surprised people don't like it.
I have no idea what it's about. I have absolutely no idea, other than it's based on a Discovery character. I have no idea what we're about to see, so.
Well, I feel like it's probably quote unquote bad just because it's not going to be Star Trek, because they're doing, Sector 31 is all spy games, right? So like that's not regular Star Trek. And a lot of people tend to get really pissy about that, right?
They sure do.
So yeah, I figured that's going to be a chunk of it on its own, is just people being pissy because it's not Star Trek. Kind of like the way I bitched about Discovery. Specifically. Yeah.
I mean, Picard, I would say. Picard kind of gets there. Picard is kind of an ensemble crew show, but it does a lot of weird stuff, especially in season 2.
Yeah, I didn't get far enough into it to really have formulated an opinion in that respect, but you've told me enough that like I'm a little worried about just exactly that, you know?
Picard is a little rough and tumble, and yeah, and I almost, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, basically, I'm interested in, I'm sort of, because you know what? All Star Trek movies are kinda different than what the Star Trek shows that they're based on are like. Like, Star Trek movies kind of have their own thing. Even, I would even say, like, the J.J. Abrams movies are more similar to the 1980s movies than, like, the 1980s movies are to the 60s show. You know, so
Yeah.
like, is this, because it's premiering on streaming services, is it gonna feel like a 2-hour episode of any of those new shows, which are all, you know, somewhat samey, or is it gonna feel like a Star Trek movie? That might be my most important question to think about. I
I'm
don't know.
really curious, mostly because I'm worried about like if it's gonna actually be good, obviously, because like that is always the concern with this sort of thing, right? But like I don't know, it just I'm worried about it in that it feels like it could easily fall into just like this weird like almost like Negaverse type Star Trek where like
Oh, sure.
because of the, again you're looking at this thing that's a
We got a mirror
it's
universe
not
character.
that it's not true Star Trek the way we're used to begin with, like it's a little bit off in general because it is that Section 31, you know, words that are hard, but like it's a Section 31 thing, so they're doing the spy games thing a lot more than what we're say used to with like regular Trek stuff. Like it's out there to begin with.
Yep.
I'm thinking it's gonna end up feeling a little bit more like Shield, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Sure.
But like a serious take on the Agents of Shield versus what we actually got, you know?
We'll see. Well, shall we then? Shall we take a look upon it?
Let's
Let's
do
look
it.
at Section 31. Hi, welcome back to the Least Ready Room, a podcast where Dave and Chris and Saint and other people talk about Star Trek and intend to watch every episode and Star Trek thing that is produced. I gotta write an actual opening to this show so I know what to say. I don't even know who the official cast is. It's definitely me and Chris and Saint. Me and Chris watched Section 31. And we did not like it. Next week we will be starting season 2 of TOS, Amok Time. That will be a great episode. A bunch of people were here to watch it with us, so we'll be talking to Sarah Dish's music. Saint, Chris, Weebs, Thrash might have been there. Yeah, the whole crew. That's the whole crew. I mean, is it? Sometimes Pickle Pickle Pie is here. That's a mouthful. It started with me and Chris. Saint really immediately became a main member of the team. This is what it is. Welcome to the Least Ready Room, a podcast where Saint, Chris, and Dave are gonna watch Star Trek. They put out a movie recently. Here's how we felt about it immediately after watching it.
By miles, but yeah, no, this is not. This wasn't amazing. It was okay, you know. It felt like they're trying to curb off too many other properties, and some of those other things that they're cribbing off of were not things that were worth cribbing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I am tired of superhero movies, but I don't, and really, honestly, if I judged this purely as a superhero movie, I wouldn't be saying enough about it. What'd you think overall?
All like I don't know, I was hoping for more, I was hoping for spy and I got action adventure. I didn't feel like I got a spy movie out of that, like I wanted
That's for
more like
sure.
intrigue.
They tried with the whole mole scenario, which was the entirety of Act Two, I would say.
Yeah, but even that was just
But
kind
it's
of
not. No, this was really an adventure movie. They're stranded on some planet for maybe the majority of the movie and the rest of the movie. Act three is entirely a fight in a spaceship with a little bit of chasing and bomb improvisation.
Yeah, it
I
wasn't, like I said, it was just missing everything about it. There was a lot
okay.
of stuff that I wanted to get in it that I didn't get out of it. Like, I really was not signing up for Suicide Squad meets Star Wars meets vaguely trying to pretend that they're Star Trek just because they've got those alien races available. Like, it really didn't feel like I was watching a Star Trek movie at all. And I don't know, I think that really hurt it. Like, I wanted intrigue Star Trek. I didn't want Ocean's 11 meets Suicide Squad, you know?
It's kind of doing like a lot of things that are vaguely popular. Which, yeah, you kind of
Yeah.
already said that. It's kind of aping a lot of things and not really doing any of them well.
Yeah, and like
Sad to say.
I feel like if they had have just kind of focused it in a bit more instead of like shot, because it felt shotgunny, you know what I mean? Like, and maybe as a series, they could have gotten away with it because you have your heist episode, you could have your badass superheroes are get together episode, like all that stuff can happen, but it's less rushed. And I think because they're trying to ape on so many things, like trying to hit so many popular franchises with what they were doing, that it ends up just being rushed and messy and not cohesive enough to be a good story. I think too many characters. I honestly, at the end of it, I remember who they all are because of their powers, not because I remember the characters.
Sure. Or
Like a
yeah.
spe yeah, like the Starfleet officer with the blue hair. She, I remember because she's a Starfleet officer with blue hair. I have no idea who she is or why she matters to anybody.
Yeah.
She's just a Starfleet officer with blue hair. You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of the, I feel like a lot of the movie was done in that respect, where it's like, here's this guy with this unique power. That's what's important about them.
In a movie, it occurs to me that in something like Suicide Squad or Guardians of the Galaxy, the all of those characters, even if they are fringe characters in the comics, even if they're not popular characters, they are characters that at least somebody knows about. And in fact, people that are really obsessed with the franchise will probably learn about the history of those characters before they go to see this movie. But this movie, of course, Section 31, cannot benefit from that. Because these are all characters we could you imagine if it was a team of like the spy guy from DS9 and like Garak and like some other
Yeah.
spies from here and there, Neelix? That then it would be
I
Suicide
think I would
Squad.
have been, I would be way more into them taking known characters that we already love and doing that with this. Because we don't know these characters, because they're all brand new characters, like you said, like there's the whole, if I'm watching Suicide Squad and they bring up like a guy who's this low, like came up once in a comic book, you know, 30 years ago, and he's in the movie, that becomes a really cool Easter egg, and that just makes
Sure.
the movie a little bit more fun for the hardcore nerds, and it introduces the less hardcore nerds into this niche character. Like, I had never heard, slight tangent, but like the Lego Batman movie had a bunch of weird Batman villains in it, like
Okay.
the like Calendar Man type level of
Oh,
what the
all right.
fuck. And I'm not a big Batman fan. I love the movies. I liked the old silly Cesar Romero, Adam West, Burt Ward show. Like, I do like what the property, right?
He
But
wore
I'm not
grease
a fan.
paint on his mustache.
He did. I love it so much. But like, I for me with that one, it becomes like,
I hate to be, wow, now I'm doing a real good job of interrupting you, but we are considering watching that old Batman show as an ongoing thing to talk about and record a show, but
if
anyway,
timing
I'm
works out,
so
I'm
sorry
down
I
for it.
just
I just,
jumped in and
I'm not
interrupted
going to
you.
guarantee it though.
Right, yeah, I mean
Yeah.
we're doing enough stuff, but that's on the table, just letting you know.
I'm down for it if it works out. I might just be, I have to be like a guest star type thing, you know what I
Sure.
mean?
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, like I enjoy the visual media of it that I've consumed, but I'm not a comic nerd when it comes to Batman. So I don't
Right.
know, like 95% of the Batman villains I've never heard of. And when we were watching it, there was the guy, the Condiment Man. And
Condiment
I was like,
Man?
I don't know if that's his actual name, but he had like ketchup and mustard sprayers.
Oh.
And he is this, apparently Chaos has heard of him. I just don't remember if
Okay.
Condiment Man's the right name for him.
Yeah, I
But
have no,
like
yeah. I have no idea.
Chaos when we watched it, he got a kick out of the little tiny niche dudes. It was like, yeah, that guy and that guy. No, these are real Batman villains. I'm like, wait, what? Or like, I'm one of them, I think, was like a callback. I think Condiment Man might have been from like a TV advert.
Oh, like Batman comes to save the hot dogs.
Kind of a thing, yeah. Either way, it was in that sphere. That was tiny, stupid, niche thing, and I had no clue about it. And I've got my partner next to me being like, yeah, that's really cool. And like, that's where I would have liked to have seen this movie go. Having that kind of a small, lesser-known characters, like you said, Garrick and fucking Neelix, and any of those spy-like characters, and having them come together would have been way more engaging for me than what we got.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I don't need everyone to have powers. Why does everyone have to have superpowers nowadays? Why can't they just be?
Because that's the kind of movie it was. Because it was a superhero movie.
It was.
Yeah, really. It was a superhero origin story movie. Perhaps the thing I'm most bored of.
Yeah. And I would have much preferred it if it was just goobers who had to sort their shit out. Like, I don't know. Make it a Bajoran. Have like a Bajoran spy. Get fucking,
oh my god,
Garrick even if and they a Bajoran were together, and you have that conflict there. You know what I mean?
Even if they were characters from races we were familiar with, would make this feel like a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, the only race we're familiar with in there was the fucking Vulcan, and he was a robot, and he wasn't acting like a fucking Vulcan. it's. They took the target, and then they actively shot around it. That's how it feels. Like they took what could have been an awesome thing, and were like, all right, let's just go kitty corner to it in every respect. Let's not do exactly the thing that we want to do. Let's do little bits that are very close, you know?
Yeah. And just out of fairness, I do often say that, like, I do want a franchise to go and do something different and try something different. I do think that what they're trying to do is what's popular right now, but what I was gonna say is that, like, they didn't really promise us a Star Trek movie, maybe because this was barely advertised, but I mean, I wasn't necessarily expecting something to feel like Star Trek, but this is about as far. Even Discovery, Discovery on the whole feels more Star Trek-y than this movie. And I don't mean to, I guess I'm apologizing to the movie, but you know, I love Star Trek. So,
like, I don't mind if it's not a Star, if it's, I wouldn't mind it because they didn't advertise it, that it's not as Star Trek-y as Star Trek should be. But at the same time, I said it to you before, Star Trek as a whole in the modern era to me doesn't feel like Star Trek. It's increasingly going into this taking itself too serious bent, which,
yeah,
I mean, I get, but that's what's popular and people want to watch like serious TV.
It helps sell a space battle if everyone's, you know.
Yeah, but like Star Trek,
there's a lot of space battles going on in new Star Trek. Sorry.
Well, that's part of it too. Yeah, they've decided that they have to kick up the action. Like, we're watching the original series,
like the J.J. Abrams movies.
Yeah, but like, how often when we watch the original series do you have more than one fight in an episode?
Never.
Yeah.
Between spaceships? Are you serious?
Not even that, but like just fighting at all.
Anything.
Like fighting
is
very much very clearly a last resort. Whereas in modern era Star Trek, fighting is the first thing they do. Like, everyone's a bruiser nowadays. And I miss the campiness. I miss trying to find peaceful resolutions and using combat as a very last resort, high action thing. Like, I know that it's TNG can be a little bit cerebral and can be a little bit slow at times. I'm not pretending it can't be. But I feel like that's the kind of feel we need. Like, even Voyager was a lot more talky and a lot more diplomacy. Voyager was very much a combat-focused show. It was very diplomatic before they went to combat, you know? So, like, I don't know. I think that's what I'm missing is, like, that variance that we're not just, oh, hey, you're my enemy now because I've decided I don't like how you look, so I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Like, yeah.
They should rename this series Star Wars.
It really has become that.
And that was also a Star Wars movie. I mean, I often say that Marvel and Star Wars movies is the same thing.
Yeah.
It is, right?
They've gone there now, yeah.
A lot of times I say that, like, there's a Marvel movie, and I'll say, like, something, this Star Wars movie, or I'll say everything is Star Wars, and someone will be like, no, that's Marvel. That's, they'll, like, act like, or they'll think I have no idea what I'm talking about, but...
Yeah, no, I agree. Especially since Disney has acquired both franchises, it feels like that's definitely where they're moving towards, where, like...
Yeah, they all feel exactly the same.
You and I have watched several of the shows together, and the shows... for both even feel like I'm watching, like, it's hard to tell which one I'm watching. It's just the same, it's just different names and different powers,
man. So. was Little Wolverine in The Acolyte?
Which, who do you mean by Little Wolverine?
Daphne Keene from Logan.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'll look it up while we're talking, because
I think I was into that kind of just because I like her from also
she's,
his Dark Materials.
Solid, yeah. Yeah, she was Jackie Lon.
Yeah, I wish they would. Yeah, I wish they would do more with that show or that character. But do you see how I had to ask you which show it was, because I honestly didn't know. If you had said she was an Andor, I would have been like, oh yeah, because it all is just one thing now. Just like comic books became right before 2010, when all this movie started happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just we're out of the ability to tell unique and interesting stories. But then I see something like What We Do in the Shadows, and it's so unique and so different. Now, granted, that being said, Taika Waititi is doing the same sort of thing, where all of his shows are basically the same thing. It's just, what's the twist? Is it vampires? Is it pirates?
Pirates? Like, yeah.
But I mean, his flavor of television show, at least for me and what I've seen, is very unique as a genre. Whereas, like, a lot of TV nowadays, it's all very similar. It's hard to tell the difference between anything.
Do you feel like it would be likely if, you know, a super weapon... I don't think we even really... With all the time they took to explain technology and everything that they over-explained in this movie, I don't think we heard what that weapon actually does when it goes off, other than explode really big. Did they say something? Is some chain reaction thing?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Okay, I don't think they even said it.
I don't think they did either. I feel like, I don't know, I'm not gonna lie, like, technobabble has always been a part of Star Trek, but, like, they took it to an extreme where I said it while we watched it. They did Ocean's 11 levels of explanations throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
And some of it was
pretty fun, like,
They did have the heist.
Yeah.
Like, some of
Ocean's 11 stuff going on. Please,
like,
sorry.
Here's a 5-minute explanation of what we wanted to have happened, and then they don't do that anyways. I'm like, then why are we getting this explanation?
Yep.
Like, I don't need it. If you want to just do that switch of, like, oh, no, like, this isn't what we're going to do, we're going to do something else, make the explanation less long. It doesn't need to be this convoluted if we're just going to, nope, we're not doing that now. Like,
there were a couple points early on when I knew we were in trouble, and one of them is when Giorgio took, like, 3 whole sentences to explain the phase pods.
Yeah.
We have all seen it in other properties. We all know what this is. She doesn't need to explain it to us, and she's trying to kidnap this man. She's trying to steal this object from him, and it's just sitting on the floor, and she's just dancing around like a clown, explaining what phase shifting is.
Like, and I'm not, I don't know if I have, I don't know if I have actually seen phasing done the same way they did it there, but, like, it's such a trope of sci-fi.
Yeah.
That, like, if you're in, and so.
You've read about it or something.
Yeah. No, you said it really well, where this felt like they were trying to do a Star Trek for beginners movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to grab the Marvel DC fan crowd and pull them in with their Suicide Avengers style movie that just didn't
team
quite
up,
hit. And, like, you mentioned it during it, and I'm like, no, that's exactly what we're watching here. And stuff like that phase description is for those people who are new to the genre, who have never run into it, but, like, the people that they're trying to grab, I guarantee you, are not new to the genre. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I do.
So I don't know.
It means that they don't know who their audience is or what they're doing for who.
Yeah.
And that's really clear. That's so. It's just one of those. And the worst part of this movie is that I'm going to forget about it immediately, and so will everyone else who sees it.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
I really feel like, if I had to give it a rating, I'm going to give it a solid 5. It wasn't good. It wasn't awful, but they missed all of their marks, and it just. It was so meh and forgettable. It's not worth higher than that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, Andor did it to me too. Andor was the same thing. I had to stop watching Andor because I didn't know what had happened episode by episode, because it was all so painfully forgettable. And that's what we've watched here, is a very forgettable movie.
I am gonna give it a four. I think I am actually a tiny bit mad at it. I'm mad that that's what I had to spend 2 hours doing. A
You know
little
what? That
bit.
is perfectly fair.
I just so I the and you know what it when you know once a movie starts annoying you at a certain point, it's like a crescendo, a cascade. It just gets worse and worse. That squid alien's laughter, every time he laughed, I was
Oh
like
my God.
physically cringing, right? Was it bad? It was
It
physically
was a
bad for
terrible
me.
laugh.
It was awful. Like, and this is
No, and
exactly the kind of criticism I do not like to give a movie, but it was that kind of thing. Like, why are you doing this?
like it feels like they, I don't know, like it was so bad, it was so painful, it was so predictable. Everything was telegraphed in Act One. You knew what was happening before Act Two even started. Like, you knew the whole plot of the whole movie. And like, and I'm not a person that does that with films. I don't predict movies very often. I don't figure it out like that because I don't want to. I try to avoid it. But it was so obvious
By the beginning of
so
the third
early.
act, we knew what the rest of the movie like. Where it, before then, we knew what the rest of the movie was going to be.
It
Like
was
it.
so bad. Yeah, no, I'm sticking with five because I bet you in a week I won't remember what I watched. That's why it's getting the five. It didn't anger me so much. But I will not know what I saw again in a week. You could turn around and be like, "Hey, Saint hasn't seen it yet. Let's do a Saint's episode
We'll
now."
take a look
And I'll
at
be
it.
like, "Yeah, sure. I've never
I
seen it
don't know if
before.
he's
Let's
going to
go
want
watch
to. We'll
it."
see.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you had this ultimate weapon, do you think it would be designed so that if it fell off of its little pedestal, it would immediately begin a countdown? And you don't need to answer that because you wouldn't design it like that. But
That is so
also,
foolish.
as from a writing perspective, as a plot device, that countdown lasted 45 of my minutes, I would wager. Like, it was not a plot device at all. There were never in any danger of it going off while
Yeah.
it was just counting down because, like, that's what you're supposed to do during the
Yeah.
battle, which is the entire third act of the fucking movie.
Look,
Sorry. I'm so sorry to everyone who made this. I love Star Trek.
honestly, if you can't eject the warp core, you've got to have that stupid little, you know what I
Fucking
mean?
ball. Just
Oh,
a,
fuck.
oh, God. Yeah. Just magic ball that's going to end the world. The universe is in danger.
And we're gonna do a superhero movie to save everyone.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, I mean that's what it was. It was exactly what it yeah.
Yeah, I can see
It was
why.
exactly that.
I can see why they felt they needed to make it into a movie instead of a series, but at the same time, maybe if you're gonna condense a series into a movie, do it better.
That's almost it. Like, I mean, if like you should try different things as a series or a franchise. You know, try a different style, a different genre, a different set of tropes or whatever, but like you also have to make it a good movie. Unfortunately, you also have to actually like do a good job. You could do things in a different style as much as you want, but I mean, look at goddamn fucking Lower Decks. That's all you gotta do. I'm just gonna point out Lower Decks for everything that I don't like anytime I feel like I'm complaining about something because it's different.
Because Lower Decks was different, and Lower Decks was done well.
And it was
That's the
good.
difference.
There it is.
I have no. Voyager tried to take the TNG original series model, and they did something different with it, and they did it well. TNG took the original series, and they tried to do something a little bit different with it, and be a little bit more serious and a little bit more diplomatic and hopeful on the future, and they did it well. DS9 did a soap opera for Star Trek instead of it being a flying spaceship thingy. They were literally a space station at the front of a war, and
Fucking awesome.
they did it well.
Yes,
These
they
are
did.
classic, great TV shows because they actually did it well versus this. Like, they just didn't do it well, and I don't know where the breakdown happened exactly. I don't know if it was that transition from series to movie. I don't know if they just didn't have the right writers, if they didn't have the right idea person behind it, if they didn't have the right cast for the most part, except there's Michelle Yeoh and she's fucking amazing and you can't tell me otherwise. Like, I don't know where the breakdown was.
She was good. I mean, that was she was into
She
that
was she
character.
carried the
Like,
movie. She carried every She was the best part of that whole film. So I don't know where the breakdown happened outside of that, but somewhere they just lacked. It just wasn't done well.
You know what has just occurred to me is that I really am not in any way part of any kind of Star Trek community or like the Star Trek community at large. I don't talk to any Star Trek people on the internet. I don't like watch Star Trek YouTube videos because I was just thinking to myself, like, I wonder how this is going to be received because like maybe younger fans, and I thought to myself, I have no idea what fans of Discovery are like. I have no idea what fans of modern Star Trek are like. I don't know if they're going to like this, and I don't know how I'm going to find out, but maybe I'll. Well, actually, and then I thought to myself, I guess I'm going to look up a Section 31 review on YouTube once we're done talking.
I've
So
had,
maybe I'll find out.
I've run into a couple of them on TikTok,
Oh,
and
okay. Yeah.
I avoid it. I don't follow anyone who's into Star Trek except for there's this one kid who he's autistic and obsessive and he's hilarious and he's from the States.
Okay.
That's all I got. He's a big fan of Star Trek and he's watching the classic series, plural, like the
Yeah.
90s stuff.
Hot.
So like that's all of the content that I've seen come out of this person is like original series through to Voyager. He hasn't even really talked about like Enterprise. So, but that's it. Like that's the only person I really follow in Star Trek. Most of the stuff that I've seen, because I send you clips and stuff, right? That's a buddy
Sure.
of mine who sends stuff
Okay.
to me, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I'll forward it on because like they know we're doing this podcast, so they okay, when they see Star Trek related stuff, they're like, hey,
Yeah,
by the by.
cool. Awesome.
But yeah, like.
Maybe
The
I'll
couple
follow
I've
some
seen.
Star Trek accounts on some places. Maybe that's how I'll start sneaking in. I guess I'm not saying any new information or anything.
No, but like the couple of people I've seen have kind of not panned it, but been in the same boat that I'm in. They're in that medium. It's not a bad movie. It's not a good movie. It's not a Star Trek movie. And then I kind of
Yeah.
stop watching because I don't want it. Again, I didn't want spoilers, right? So like everything I've seen has been kind of, eh, it's okay.
Yeah, see, and I worry that our take, this it's not Star Trek take, is
It's because we're old.
I guess that's what I was gonna talk about the old man who yells at the cloud, you know, in The Simpsons. Yeah,
No,
that's what it
I.
feels like a little bit, because it just does, because it doesn't. It all does not feel like Star Trek. I'm not thinking very hard, but I mean Lower Decks did, and
Yep.
I feel like Strange New World does, but Strange New Worlds has that. It's got leftover Discovery energy on it or something.
It's of the three of sorry of the four of the ones that have come out in the like the, what is it 2020s
The
2010s
2020. I think that Picard came out in 2020, and I feel like Lower Decks probably could have been the year before, but I think
but
could have
basically
been.
the ones that have come out since
Oh
like
no, Discovery
2015
was out before Picard. Discovery was like 2018, sorry.
yeah so the ones
Okay.
that are, have come out in since like 2015 kind of thing the recent ones
Yeah, the modern era, yeah.
yeah Picard, what little I've seen of it, didn't feel like Star Trek, but it didn't feel like Star Trek yet. It felt like they were moving towards it and just hadn't
Yeah.
gotten there yet.
Yeah.
And part of that is I only watched what like two episodes, and it was very Picard focused. It wasn't anyone else yet. They were just bringing in the other characters, really, it felt like.
They get there in season one, but it's patchy.
Yeah, then Discovery, I watched like I think about half a season, and never once did it feel like a Star Trek show. A
It's,
lot of
yeah.
that is the putting Michael Burnham on a fucking pedestal that that show does.
And again, to repeat myself, Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, Prestige TV, very non-episodic, following one character and their dramatic upheavals from one episode to the, like again, and the whole thing blurs together. It's very hard for me to pick out one episode of Discovery and talk about what happened in one episode. There's a few. There's the excellent Rainn Wilson, Henry Mudd. Two episodes, I believe.
Harvey Mudd.
Harvey Mudd?
I think his name's Harvey, not
Harry.
Henry. Harry.
Harry Mudd?
I don't know either way. But so then you've
Rainn
got,
Wilson.
yeah. So there's and then Stranger Worlds is the closest because actually on
Yeah.
a starship and the other characters matter. I remember the other characters coming up.
And not that it has to be this, but a starship going around exploring and encountering strange new worlds.
That
Not that it
really
has
does
to be
help.
that, but that's a good start. If you don't,
Yeah.
if you're not sure what you're doing with your show, your Star Trek show, that's a really good start.
Yeah, and then so of those three, like definitely Strange New Worlds is the most Star Trek-y from what little I've seen. And then you've got
Yeah.
Lower Decks where there was no question. And what I specifically really liked with Lower Decks is they still took a new concept and ran with it. Like, they had a Star Trek show about an ensemble cast working together for the betterment of mankind, dealing with a, you know, monster of the week with overarching stories per season, but it wasn't around the captain, it was around the goobers. The captain and other command people were there to support the goobers, which on its own is a bit of a unique take for Star Trek. It's like, even the classic stuff that I keep, you know, touting about was all about the command staff, and the goobers on their ship or station were there to support the command staff. So even though they would come up, you'd get like one ensign and everyone else was big and important, right? So like, I really feel like again, it just hate shows again, like you can do a modern era show, and Lower Decks has action. It has comedy. It's got campiness. It's got seriousness. It's got hope. It's got future diplomacy. Like, it's got all of the Star Trek stuff in it. They've just knocked it out of the park. I can't wait till we get to Lower Decks. We'll have talked about it so much by the time we get there in this show.
I feel like in 2004, there was a period of time where, like, I don't know why it's not specifically 2004. In the 2000s, there was a period of time when, I guess, say towards the end of like the PS2 era, that's how, you know, around five, Jesus Christ, who cares what year? But so there was a point when like 3D video gaming got kind of established. And for a while, that was like all games were like PlayStation, PS2, GameCube. Yeah. It was that era. All games were like 3D like that. But then they started more 2D games started coming back in like, you know, a little bit of a small wave, like, a classic Metroid game got, you know, actually published by Nintendo, and that was like a big deal. It was actually a 2D Metroid game. You know, a few games like that and other stuff where, and also a lot of indie games started getting made, Cave Story and shit, and kind of a move back towards 2D. And that is what Lower Decks is like. Lower Decks, what I was saying about all these things not being Star Trek, Lower Decks is so Star Trek that it feels like when Metroid Fusion, I don't know if Fusion or Zero Mission came out first, but it feels like when a new Metroid came out in 2005 or 6, and it was like, this is actual Metroid, after I've been watching people play Metroid Prime, which is not to my taste, because I did not like all that 2D stuff and Harry Potter and Shrek, as you know. I was an adult at the time. I wanted to play Metroid like 1984, goddammit, and I did. And that's what Lower Decks is like. In my heart, there are four 90s Star Trek shows.
Yeah, and there technically is. It's just that the fourth one was Enterprise, and we're like, nah, man, nah, put Lower Decks in place.
Did that start in the 90s?
Yeah. It started either, like, I think it started in, like, 99 or at most maybe 2001. It was on when I was in high school.
It absolutely is not one of the 90s shows. But it is not of that era. It is not of the feel or the look or the vibe. Or, 2001?
Yeah, I was still in high school when it was on TV. That's how I remembered it.
So it feels like the 90s.
It does.
Okay. It does feel like the 90s. I mean, I guess it does. But no, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't feel like those shows. It does not feel like 90s Trek. It is, they really, I don't know what, I mean, I remember watching it and being like, what the fuck? The last three shows all felt like they could have been the same. I mean, they crossed over all the time. They were shot on the same studios, probably, most of them, you know.
For TNG and DS9 and Voyager?
Yeah, all those. They all like felt the same. And then Enterprise was, what the fuck is this now?
Well, Enterprise 2, see, again, this is another one, like, another example, like, with what I think of, like, Discovery, or with, with Strange New World, Picard, like, it's, Enterprise tried to do the ensemble cast, but they put too much focus on Archer, and no one gives a fuck about Archer. And then, on top of that, with Enterprise, they were trying something new, and then they just missed.
Yes.
Like, they really, and again, it's the same thing I've been planning about this movie and like a Discovery, like they're trying something new, which cool, do something new.
Good, yeah.
But then they just miss it.
I'm glad it happened. We'll see what the legacy of this is and Enterprise. We're gonna watch that someday.
I really would love it to have a panel of like a couple of people who were around for the original series when that was on TV and a couple of people who are in their like 20s to talk Star Trek. So we get the younger perspective, we get the older perspective. What does the old person feel about like is what Star Trek versus not Star Trek? What does the younger people feel about is Star Trek and is not Star Trek?
Boy, that would be a wacky thing to try to do.
That would be a really interesting conversation.
I don't know anyone in their 20s.
I do not know anyone in their
20s. We would have to find people on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you're going to cut out a lot of my conversation around my porn book earlier from earlier, too.
I thought I would probably leave that all entirely.
All right, if you want to leave all that book talk in, that's fine. I mean, people have to be used to by now when they're listening to the podcast. We're not on topic about half of the time, and that's usually very weird conversation then, and it's fine. It's fun.
No, I think that's the point. As far as where I'm standing, that's the point.
Okay, fair. So yeah, no.